Paul starts out in Romans chapter 6. He's talking about a baptism that takes place. And it's not water baptism that he's speaking of, but he's talking about the one baptism. The one baptism that we read about in Ephesians chapter 4. There's one Lord, one faith, one baptism. And he's speaking about the new birth in the beginning part of Romans chapter 6. He's really speaking about the inner man, talking about what happens to the inner man at the new birth when we're born again, born from above, born of God's Spirit, regenerated. They all mean the same things. He's speaking about the inner man and how that the inner man has been crucified to his old self. Crucified and put to death the old ways, the ways that the inner man, our soul and our spirit, when he speaks of the inner man, he's speaking of our soul and our spirit. That part that God has placed in us that we're not able to see. We can't see them with our natural eyes, but God knows all about them. And God has placed them inside of us. You see, each and every person is made up of three parts: a body, a soul, and a spirit. So man's made of three parts. But he's speaking about the inner man here and what happens at that baptism where Paul described it in the Corinthian letter. He said, "For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. Whether we be Jews or Gentiles, bond or free, we have all been made to drink into one Spirit." And this is the baptism he's talking about. But he says that in the fact that we have all been born again and born of God's Spirit, he says after that, he said we should walk in a newness of life. He's talking about a change that takes place in our lives. And he goes on, and basically in the second half of Romans chapter 6, he begins talking about how we are to prevent sin from reigning in our mortal bodies. He's kind of talking about the outer man in the second half of Romans chapter 6. And how we are to not yield ourselves to unrighteousness regarding the outer man. God makes the change in the inner man. God deals with that part of us. He gives us a new heart, a new heart that he puts within us, a heart of flesh. He puts the Spirit of His Son into our hearts and sends it in there. And after that happens, we thereby cry, "Abba, Father." And God takes care of that part. But now Paul begins to speak in the second half of Romans 6 about something you and I have to do. Considering ourselves now, our inner man, to be dead indeed unto sin. But he says in verse 12 that we're to let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. And he talks about not yielding our members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but rather yielding ourselves unto God and unto righteousness. And he says, "For sin shall not have dominion over you." He's talking about the outer man. Our bodies, okay? He says, sin shall not have dominion over your bodies. God's made this great and miraculous change and merciful and gracious change on the inside of us. And he says, after that, he says, it's up to you to make sure our bodies are committed unto the Lord and that we do not yield to unrighteousness. And with that in mind, he goes on into Romans chapter 7. And I'm skipping over a lot here in Romans chapter 6, but I really want to talk about Romans 7 this morning. That just trying to set the stage here as we go into Romans chapter 7. When you begin chapter 7, Paul begins talking about the law and how that when a person is married under God's righteous law, that person is married and is bound by that law. He's using the example of a woman to begin with in chapter 7 and verse 2, he says, "The woman which hath a husband is bound by the law to her husband so long as he liveth. But if her husband be dead, she's loosed from the law of her husband." And he goes on to say that we are bound, the woman would be bound to her husband until he dies. But if he dies, and after he dies, then she would be free to marry someone else and would be still righteous and acceptable in the sight of God and not be considered to be an adulteress. He says in verse 4, he says, "Wherefore, brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God." He's using that example about a natural marriage, how that the two spouses would be obligated and bound to one another for the duration of that marriage until one of them dies. Only at that point would the other spouse, the surviving spouse, be enabled to remarry again in the sight of God and be blessed by God and have God's blessings upon it. Now he's talking about you and I. He continues on with this thought of this change that has taken place. Paul is going to spend all of chapter 7 basically talking about the outer man, about our bodies, and continuing what he started in the second half of Romans chapter 6, talking about how we are to not yield our bodies to unrighteousness and to sin. He says that we now, because of the work that God has done on the inner man, because of the new birth, he says, we are become dead to the law. We're not under Moses' law anymore. We're not trying to follow Moses' law to earn righteousness or to become righteous before God. There's no one that could have ever done that anyway, because no one can keep Moses' law. But he's making a statement here, and Paul says, we are not under the law anymore. He says, because the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ has freed us from being under the law service. We are now under grace. And aren't you thankful this morning, you and I are under grace, and we're not trying to read Leviticus and Deuteronomy and Exodus and trying to figure out what law is it that we need to do this morning? What animal sacrifice do we need to offer? What grain offering do we need to bring next? What does the priest need to do next? Aren't you thankful this morning we're not under that, but we're under grace? He says you're free from that law that you might be married to another. Friends, did you know this morning you and I are married to Jesus Christ in this regard? Paul says we're free from the bondage of trying to keep that law, of which no one could ever do it. We are free from that bondage in order that we might be legally married unto Christ and that he might be our heavenly husband. And friends, I want you to know, I think Paul is inferring here that with marriage comes responsibility. We're married to the Lord Jesus Christ, all of us. He is our heavenly husband. Paul is going to talk about some things here that are so very helpful for the children of God in this regard. He goes on here in chapter 7 talking about how he's keeping in mind the wonderful work that God has done with the inner man, with our soul and spirit, and how that he has completely transformed that from something that had a nature about it that only wanted to do evil and only enjoyed doing unrighteous things. God has changed that. And now Paul says, now it's up to you and I to not let our bodies follow the old man, but yet that we might follow the new man and follow after the new man unto righteousness, and how we should live our lives in that way. And I love this subject, and I love the way Paul approaches this here. If only it were so easy. He says, God has done this work on the inside of us. He says, he has made the law, made us dead to the law. Our former husband is dead now. You see, we're not under that bondage anymore to the law. And he said, now we can be married to Christ. If only it were so easy, to just make sure that we live our lives in a way that is always pleasing unto God, and we never make a mistake and we never make a wrong turn in life. If only it were so easy. Paul comes down in verse 8 pretty quickly into Romans chapter 7. Paul begins to relate his experience in life. He begins to tell us about a time in his life where he went along living life. He says, let's just read verse 8. He says, "But sin, taking occasion by the commandment, wrought in me all manner of concupiscence." Now, concupiscence just simply means lust or lustful desires. He says, "Sin, taking occasion by the commandment, worked in me or wrought in me all manner of concupiscence." And he says, "For without the law, sin was dead." Now, I believe Paul is talking about a time in his life here before he's born of God's Spirit. Before God had written his law in his heart and in his mind. God's law, you see, it's one thing to be able to read God's law, to pick up a copy of Moses' law and read it, to read all those commandments and all those things that we had to do. It's one thing to read it. But it's another thing when God puts it in your heart and he writes it in your heart. Then you can understand it. It's one thing to be able to read these things and to hear about what they had to do. But I'll tell you, if you're not born of God's Spirit, it's not going to mean anything to you just because you read God's law. And he says, thou shalt honor thy mother and father, and thou shalt have no other gods before me, and so on and so forth. You could read it all day long, but if you're not born of God's Spirit, it's not going to mean anything to you. You see, you're only thinking about one thing. You're thinking about one thing only, and that is what the natural man likes to do, and it's concupiscence. It's the lust and desires of the flesh. That's the only thing that a person like that is thinking about. But Paul says, I was like that once. He says, I was like that once. He said, I didn't know about sin. He said, until the law came in my heart and I was born of God's Spirit, he said, sin was dead. Sin was dead unto me. In other words, I was doing plenty of sin, but I didn't realize it. And that's exactly the case, friends, this morning. That is the case with a child of God. Until we're born of God's Spirit, we are not able to understand and feel what real sin really is. I'll tell you, everybody, I think, has the idea that when we're born of God's Spirit, that's just the most joyful event that has ever happened in our life. Well, I'll tell you, it is the greatest thing that has ever happened to you, but you don't always feel that way. Paul says, when that happened to me, when the commandment came in my life, did you notice also how Paul is talking about his regeneration and his new birth? He calls it a commandment that came from God. He didn't call it an offer, did he? He didn't talk anything about when the chance came for me to make a decision. No, he talked about a commandment coming from God. You remember what we've been looking at for the last couple Sundays in John 5:25? Hour is coming and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. In other words, a commandment from the Lord Jesus Christ when he says, live, and we're born of his Spirit. Paul's talking about that very event in his life when he says, when the commandment came. He says, I was alive without the law once. In other words, I was just bebopping along down through life, and I was doing fine. You see, I was a Pharisee. I was reading all about God's law. I studied under the feet of Gamaliel. I was raised up at his feet, who was a doctor of the law. You see, I'm a leader in my Jewish religion. He says, I was alive without the law once. He's talking about without the law in his heart. But when the commandment came, when Jesus said, live, when I think Paul's talking about his Damascus Road experience. You see, that's the big change in Paul's life. He says, when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. In In other words, my old man died to his ways. And the lustful things that his old man lusted after and desired, he says, when the commandment came, something changed in my life. He said, sin revived. Sin came alive to me. I was able to see sin for what it was. I'll tell you, sin is the thing that you and I are struggling with in our lives. We have lots of problems in the world. We have day to day, week to week. There's lots of things in our lives that our families are dealing with. But there's nothing any bigger than the subject of sin that you and I are trying to avoid and deal with in our life. And Paul's getting to that. Paul's about to begin embarking on a discussion here about that very problem. He says, the commandment which was ordained to life I found to be unto death. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it slew me. He says, wherefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy, and just and good. He says, then he asks a good question. I think it's a very good question in verse 13. Paul asks us this. He says, was then that which is good made death unto me? And his answer immediately is, God forbid. God forbid. But sin, that it might appear sin working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful. You know what happens when a child of God is born of God's Spirit? At the instant and moment that he's born of God's Spirit, you know what happens to that child of God? He becomes aware of sin and what real sin is, and it being an affront and being an offense unto a thrice holy God. That's what happens. Life comes, you and I are made aware of sin. Paul says when that commandment came, he said, sin revived. Sin came alive to me and in my mind. And I realized and I understood what sin really was. He says that sin might become sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful. Paul says in verse 14, he says, here's the problem. He says, we know that the law is spiritual. Whether you're talking about the written law of God or you're talking about the law of God written in your heart, he says, the law is spiritual. There's nothing wrong with the law of God. It's always been perfect. It's righteous. It's holy. It expresses and it conveys unto you and I the character of a righteous and a holy God. What a beautiful law God has written and he's given unto us. God has told us, these are the things that you must do to be righteous before me. And to not be at fault and to not be condemned. But you know what the law really does? All it does is condemn us because we can't keep it. From the day that it was given by the hand of a mediator, from angels to the hand of a mediator and the man Moses, and Moses began to give it to the people. From that day forward, no man has ever kept that law perfectly except a man named Jesus Christ. He's the only one. But what a beautiful law God gave us. But here's the problem. We know that the law is spiritual, but Paul, listen to what Paul says. But I am carnal, sold under sin. There's nothing wrong with God's law. God's law is beautiful. Paul says, I'm the problem. I am the problem. I am carnal. I'm talking about, friends, this morning, I'm talking about the Apostle Paul, the one that God called to be an apostle, the one that went every day of his life, he spent all of his waking hours and all of his energy trying to go and arrest Christians and cast them in jail and have them tortured. The one that God struck down on the road to Damascus, And he forever changed his life from that day forward. And he spent the rest of his life praising God and preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. He said, I endure all things for the elect's sake. We're talking about this same man. He says, I know the law is spiritual, but he says, here's the problem. He says, I am carnal and I am sold under sin. You know what Paul's about to begin discussing here? Paul is just about to start discussing about the greatest conflict that you and I will ever be involved in all the days of our life here in this world. And it's the inner conflict that takes place within every single one of us within our bodies. An inner conflict. The flesh versus the spirit. Our conduct versus our conscience. The inner conflict that you and I have to deal with. You know why this is such an interesting subject? It's because it affects every single one of us. None of us are exempt. None of us are immune from this very problem that Paul is describing about himself. I am carnal. I am sold under sin. You know what he's talking about? He's talking about his body. He's talking about the outer man. He knows full well what God has done to the inner man and how beautiful it is. The work of grace that only God can perform in a person's heart. A new heart and I'll put a new heart and a new spirit within you. Only God can do that. But now Paul's talking about the other problem. Now here arises the problem. Here's the big conflict. He says, I am sold under sin. My flesh and my body is carnal. You see, it's not been changed yet. You see, it really helps. It really helps for a Christian to understand exactly what takes place at the new birth. God gives a commandment. Jesus says, live. We have looked at that. We have looked at so many scriptures that prove that the new birth is a function of God and God only. You and I do not have a part in it. Just as you and I had no part in our natural birth, we had no say-so whatsoever. We had no choices in it. We had no part in it at all. Neither did we have a part in our spiritual birth when God is born us of his spirit. It came as a commandment. You see, God's able to make his people willing in the day of his power. God's not a wishing God. He's a willing God. He makes his people willing in the day of his power. Psalms 110. Amen. That's the God we serve. Paul's talking about when the commandment came. He says, a big change took place on the inside of me. The inner man was fixed, but he said, the body's not been changed. And it really helps for a Christian to understand that today, that the new birth involves the soul and the spirit, but the body has not yet been changed. All I have to do is get up and look in the mirror every day, and I am reminded and I'm convinced the Bible is 100% correct. My body is still going downhill every day. It's headed back toward the dirt from whence it came. But the soul and spirit, God says, is being renewed day by day. Day by day, our soul and spirit's being renewed. It's not getting worse. It's getting better every day because God's taking care of that. God has begun a work, and he's going to continue that work. But Paul says, I have a problem now. He says, I am carnal, and I'm sold under sin. He says, this is what happens to me. The new birth, he says, is the inner man only. He said, I have to deal with my flesh. He says, these are the things I do now. This is my life. The Apostle Paul, he wrote one-third of the New Testament. He was the last apostle that God called into the office of apostleship, and God even used him to write a third of the New Testament. But Paul says, this is what I'm faced with. This is reality for me. He says that I do the things that I don't want to do. That which I do, I allow not. In other words, I don't want to do them. For what I would do, what I would, that do I not, but what I hate, that do I. Have you ever done something that you really hated? You didn't really want to do it, but you did it anyway? I have to raise my hand. I've done things that I knew were wrong and I shouldn't have done them, but why did I do them? Because I have the same conflict in me that the Apostle Paul had in him, and so do you. We all have it this morning. We all are dealing with this inner conflict. Paul said, the very thing that I hate. Why do you hate it, Paul? Because God has written his laws in my heart, and I know it's wrong. God has written his laws, his beautiful laws and precepts in my heart, and he's taught me the difference between right and wrong, and I hate these things. And he says, that's the very thing I often do. He says, if I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it's good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, I'm talking about the outer man. Paul reminds us in parentheses, he says, I know that in me, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. You know, if the Apostle Paul could honestly say and honestly write this down and pen these words, that I know that in me, is in my flesh, is no good thing, how could you or I or anyone else ever say, well, that's not the case with me. There's a lot of good things in my flesh. I don't see how I could ever say it. Maybe you can. Maybe you don't have the problem like I do, but I'll tell you, I have to amen. I am right there with Paul. I'm with him. I have the same struggles. I feel like if I'm honest with myself, I can say, I know there's no good thing in my flesh. It's just not there. It can't be found. Paul says, I know this. Paul knows it. I believe I know it. I hope you know it this morning, that we're all facing the same problem. It's the flesh. It's not the part God's worked on. It's our flesh. He hasn't worked on that yet. Aren't you glad to know that this book teaches you he's going to work on it one day? Amen. Are you glad to know that this morning? But how helpful is it to you and I today, this morning, right now, how helpful is it to know that we have a problem we need to be dealing with every day? And it's so important. He says, I know that in my flesh dwelleth no good thing, for to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. My heart knows what it wants to do and what it ought to do and what it should be doing, but in terms of me actually doing it, I can't hardly seem to find that. I do the wrong things. I do the very things that I don't want to do. I do the things that I hate. That's what Paul said. The Apostle Paul. Friends, this was a learned man. It wasn't because he couldn't understand what he was supposed to be doing or what would be pleasing unto God for him to be doing. It's because he had a body of flesh that God had not yet dealt with, and he had sin dwelling in his flesh. And he says, because of that, he says, in my flesh dwelleth no good thing except sin. Sin dwells in my flesh. Friend, sin dwells in your flesh. It dwells in all of our flesh. And if a person, if you ever run into a person today who's telling you that they're not a sinner, that they don't sin, or I haven't sinned in 15 years, you could just say, tell them what John says. John says you're a liar. John says, if any man says that, he said he's a liar. And that's the truth. That is the truth of God's word. We're all sinners. And Paul admits it. He says, and I know that I am. You see, you can't fix a problem if you don't really know what the root cause of the problem is. You see that? You just have to understand. You can't fix it if you don't understand what's really causing your issues. Well, our trouble is sin. Our conflict in our body every day is sin. He says in verse 20, "Now, if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me." I want you to know something. Paul is not for one moment trying to excuse sin. And I hope you don't ever do that either. Paul's not trying to say, "Listen, I have sin that's dwelling in my body. I am carnal. I am sold under sin. I cannot help it. There's nothing I can do about it. I can't control it. It's going to do its thing. I just have to live with it." That's not what Paul's saying. I hope you don't ever get the mistaken idea that Paul is somehow trying to excuse the sin in our bodies, because he's not. He's just telling you the truth. He's telling you why you're struggling like you are. Why we have these daily struggles. It's because of the sin that's there. He's not for one minute saying that you can just excuse it and go ahead and enjoy sinning so grace might reign even more. He's not saying that. I think you understand that. But he says this. He says that I find a law. In verse 21, "I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me." He's not talking about a law that somebody wrote down and says it's going to be this way. He's talking about an innate existing law. He says, "I find a law that when I would do good, evil's present with me." He's talking about something like the law of nature, the law of gravity. Okay, that's not a law that Isaac Newton wrote down and said, "Okay, well, this is the way it's going to be. When you drop an object, it's going to fall at such and such a rate, and that's going to always be constant." No, those are laws that God put in place. Law of gravity, things like that. Laws of physics, laws of thermodynamics. This is what the kind of law he's talking about. He says, "I find a law that when I would do good, evil's present with me." Well, gee, that's no fun. That's no fun at all. That's not pleasing. It doesn't make me feel good. He says in verse 22, he says, "I delight in the law of God after the inward man." Well, so do I. He's talking about the soul and the spirit. He's talking about the laws that God wrote on your heart and put them in your mind. He says, "I delight after those laws." Well, we all delight after those laws. If God put them in your heart, you delight after them. I delight after them. We all do. Because aren't they beautiful? Aren't they perfect? You see, God has written laws in our heart that teach us we ought to love one another. We're not doing it because of our head knowledge that says, you know, that'd be a good thing to do. We're doing it, we love one another, because God put his laws in our heart and he says you should do that. My people love one another. He says, "But I find this law." He says, "I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members." In other words, in my flesh. There's one law that exists in my heart that God put in there. He says, "I love that law. I delight after it. But there's another one in my flesh. I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members." The law of sin and death that's in our flesh. You know what Paul says? You know what Paul's describing here? He's describing two laws that are at conflict with one another. A great, huge conflict with one another. God's law on the one hand, in our heart and in our minds, because God's put it there and it'll always be there. It can never be erased. It can never be changed. No man could ever take that away from you. Satan can never take it away from you. God's put those laws in your heart. But Paul says, there's laws in my flesh that are directly opposed to it. Direct opposites. He says, therein lies the struggle. He says, this is me. I'm describing my life. The Apostle Paul. I delight in the law of God after the inward man. I feel sure that you do this morning. There's not one part of God's law that we disagree with or don't love and don't appreciate and don't enjoy. But why is it, friends, this morning that you and I oftentimes struggle to do the right thing in life? It's because we have the same conflict that the Apostle Paul did each and every day of our life. We are struggling along with him. We are yoke fellows together with Paul and with every other one of God's children. There is no difference. Every one of us have this conflict because there are two laws that are existing with us. The law of God in our heart and in our minds and in our spirit, and the law of sin that is still dwelling in our flesh. Two laws at conflict. By the way, it's not acceptable to alternate and let one rule for a little while and then turn around and let the other one rule. That's unacceptable. Our charge and our commandment from God is that the Spirit of God rule in our life and in our bodies. You know, for someone to say, if you're as old as I am and you remember a television show from the late 60s called Laugh-In, there was a comic on there, a comedian named Flip Wilson, and one of his sayings that he made famous was, the devil made me do it. The devil made me do it. He said it over and over. And people laughed. But you know, I think sometimes today, people will use that excuse about sin dwelling in their body, saying, you know, I just can't help myself. The old devil just rose up and he just stuck his head up and I don't know what came over me. Well, I'll tell you, friends, I hope you know something about sin. One little brief moment, and I hope you hear me, one little brief moment of sin and indiscretion in your life can change your direction of your life for the rest of your days. Friends, that is the truth. One moment of indiscretion, one moment of sin where you let the law of sin that's in your flesh rule and overtake the laws of God that's in your mind and in your heart. If you let the law of sin reign in your life, you are subject to all sorts of problems. Some of them almost irreversible. That is the truth of God's word. Paul says, I see two different laws. I see two laws at conflict. In fact, he goes on to say of himself, he says, O wretched man that I am. Wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I want you to know that it's not acceptable to alternate and let one rule for a few days or a few weeks or some period of time and then say, well, you know, I think that's long enough. I think the flesh needs to have its time also. That's not acceptable. Paul described it like this to the Galatians. In the Galatian letter in chapter 5, Paul said these things. He says, walk in the Spirit with a capital S. That means the Spirit of God. He is admonishing them to walk in the Spirit. And ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Listen to what Paul says in verse 17. Galatians 5:17. Paul says, for the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one to the other. Is that not what Paul is speaking about in Romans chapter 7? It's the very same conflict. Now he's sharing it with the church at Galatia. Sharing it with them. He says these two things are contrary to one to the other. He says your flesh is lusting against the Spirit of God. There's a battle going on inside every one of us. A raging battle taking place inside of us every day. You know what? He describes a few of the works of the flesh. This would be the fruit unto death that our bodies would produce. If you let the flesh reign in your life, if you let the flesh take over for a little while, these are some of the things that you're going to find. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. But gee, is that a long enough list for us this morning? He says, and such like. There'll be many more. These are the things you're going to find if you let the flesh rule and reign in your life. Even for a short time, you'll be plagued with some of these things. Because that's what the flesh likes to do. That's the nature of the flesh that we have inherited from Adam. When Adam ate of that forbidden fruit, this is the result of it. This is what we got. We have a flesh now that loves these things. The flesh desires these things. But you want to know what the fruit of the Spirit of God is? That's the fruit the flesh will produce. But if you'll let the Spirit rule in your life, if you'll walk in the Spirit, he says, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. He says, there's no laws against any of these. Let the Spirit of God reign in your life. He says, and if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Just because we have an understanding of the conflict that's in our flesh, and I'm glad we do. I'm glad Paul has given us that understanding by writing about these things through the inspiration of the Spirit of God. I'm glad to know it this morning. I'm glad to know because it helps me understand sometimes when I don't do those things that I would do, and it helps me understand maybe what happened is that the flesh took over and the flesh ruled for just a moment. And instead of being able to condemn myself forever, at least I can understand I just didn't do a good enough job about walking in the Spirit and making better decisions in my life. At least we have some understanding. Is that not helpful to us all to have understanding what causes this conflict? To me, it is. Paul even said about himself, I want you to know that you can have control over the flesh. The flesh doesn't just up and rule. The flesh is not stronger than the Spirit of God. You see, that's very important that you know that. The Spirit of God and the laws that are written in our heart and in our flesh, the law that's there is more powerful than the laws of the flesh. The law of the Spirit of death, of sin and death that's in our flesh. God's law is more powerful. It can rule and it will rule if you'll enable it and you keep trying and endeavoring to do that and keep walking in the Spirit and never become weak and let the flesh have its way. Paul even talked about himself. He said, he told the Corinthians that I keep my body and I bring it under subjection lest by any means when I have preached to others that I myself should become a castaway. And you and I should have the same desires this morning and the same prayer that we might control ourselves and our lives in that way. The great conflict, the inner conflict that we're struggling with in our bodies. At least we know we're not the only ones that have it. All of God's children have this. But aren't you glad to know this morning? Aren't you encouraged? I hope you're encouraged this morning to know that the Spirit of God is much more powerful than the law of sin and death that resides in our flesh, and is able, and is much able to guide our lives and guide our footsteps, that we might produce fruit that's acceptable unto God, the fruit of the Spirit, and not be producing the fruit of the flesh. I hope you're encouraged this morning and thankful by that. What's the last thing he said? He said in verse 24, "O wretched man that I am," he says, not that I used to be, "O wretched man that I am." Paul doesn't consider himself, even though he's one of the apostles chosen by God, and he was blessed to write so much of the New Testament, Paul doesn't consider himself above and beyond everyone else. He said, "I'm a wretched man," he says, "because of my flesh." But he says, "I thank God." Here's the consoling part is verse 25. He says, "Who's going to deliver me from the body of this death?" And he gives the answer. "I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin." I just want you to know this morning, dear friends, that the law of sin that's in our flesh does not have to rule in your life. It should not rule in your life. Our charge, the thing that we should endeavor to do, is to make sure that it doesn't. How do we do that? By walking in the Spirit continually, by realizing these things, by understanding the great conflict and what it is we're up against, understanding that there is a law that dwells in our flesh. But God has given us power to even to overcome that. I hope that's encouraging to you. I hope that it will help us going forward. I hope that when choices in your life come up from day to day and week to week, you come to crossroads in life. When you do, I hope you'll remember these things to help you make decisions that will enable you to keep walking in the Spirit and not letting the flesh reign, not even for one moment in your life. May God bless you.